This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
What are they going to say?
They who?
Who? Everybody. The press, the man on the street.
He means the voters.
You know what they're going to say. The Times is going to support you. The News is going to knock you. The Post will take both sides at the same time. Quit stalling.
Will you stop bullying everybody? This is supposed to be a democracy.
We're trying to run a city, not a democracy.
Listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave on WOR 710, the number one radio show at this hour in New York City and the tri-state area. Join me in a few minutes with our guest, Mike Elmendorf from Rebuild New York Now and the Associated General Contractors. We're going to talk about a couple of things, a lawsuit against New York City over Uber, a drunk stealing a yellow cab. New York State Department of Motor Vehicles will start suspending registrations of toll violators. The roads on Thanksgiving, the new boulevard of death, and the MTA still using some 80-year-old original equipment. But first, let me tell you something. We had heavy rains Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and I received an email earlier today from a young lady named Susie. Let me read it to you. Dear Taxi Dave, late Friday night I was driving home on the Sawmill River Parkway when traffic stopped. About half a mile and an hour of traffic later, there was a large puddle where only one lane was barely passable and about six cars were stuck after driving through the water. Then I drove to the Hutchinson River Parkway only to get stuck because of ponding water yet again. Any suggestions, Taxi Dave? Susie. Susie, listen to me very carefully. Don't ride on any roads that have the words river or brook in it. The reason you got stuck on the Sawmill River Parkway is because it's next to the Sawmill River. The Hutchinson River Parkway? Ring a bell? Stay away from the Sprain Brook Parkway, because in heavy rains, brooks turn into rivers. And let's not forget, locally, the Bronx River Parkway also. You should have taken the thruway. Even if it's a little longer and double back, take State Thruway. Don't take roads with the name river or brook in it. That's advice to everybody out there. No matter what state you live in, there are roads with the word river or brook. Avoid them in the rain. Or you may not get home unless you're towing your boat. Then you will get home. Okay. You know, our email address here is taxihale@AOL.com. And our phone number is 800-321-0710. So let me just tell you, I guess this is, you know, it's not a big story. It's just a little story. But it goes on in taxis throughout the world. People go out. They have a good time. Sometimes they tend to drink a little too much. Well, this is a unique case. You know, when I said before that a drunk steals a yellow cab, what kind of person comes to your mind? Well, here's the news story. A drunken female real estate agent who's 27 years old and works for the Douglas Elliman Agency. I won't give her name. It's Kinga Tabarez. I guess I have to say allegedly refused to pay a taxi driver And the taxi driver, Mr. Desir, then took her and her pal to the 13th precinct. Tabarez, he said, was so drunk that she didn't know where she was going. And while the taxi driver was inside the police station asking for help, Tabarez got behind the driver's seat and drove off with the yellow cab. And when the cops finally caught up to her in Chelsea, that's downtown, like a lady, she was vomiting out the driver's side window. All right, so this real estate broker at 27 was charged with grand larceny, unauthorized use of a vehicle, and a DWI. And she was taken to Bellevue Hospital, where she refused to take a breathalyzer test. So there you go. Just something to think about. Okay, you think it's an easy job, folks? You know, who does stuff like this? I'm sure her parents are very proud of her. You know, I'm sure they're very proud of her. Draw your own conclusions. Anyway, Mike Elmendorf is the executive director of the Associated General Contractors, and he's also the leader of Rebuild New York Now. That's a coalition. And there's been some news lately about, you know, we really didn't get to discuss the federal government giving the states $300 billion in a bill for infrastructure. But MTA always seems to get the bulk of any monies that are designated for, I guess, for infrastructure. Anyway, to discuss this with me right now is Mike Elmendorf. Mike, thanks for joining the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Okay. I saw you got some press this week, and it was pretty interesting. Now, what I don't understand, frankly, is why does the MTA in New York City, okay, get more money than everybody else upstate? I mean, I live a little way upstate, about 75 miles north, and I know after Hurricane Sandy, I mean, we're just getting one of our little bridges, and there's only two going into our village, just getting it repaired now. And, you know, it seems like others are forgotten about, but the MTA has to get theirs. How do you feel about that?
Well, actually, you know, the funny thing is that that didn't used to be the case. You know, until 2009, 2010, you had parity between spending on the MTA capital program and the New York State DOT capital program, which is roads and bridges and then things like airports and rail and stuff like that. And the history of this goes back to the early 1990s, when very shortly after the Dedicated Highway and Bridge Trust Fund, which is not quite so dedicated these days, and we can talk about that, was created. The MTA was in crisis, transit was in crisis, and an agreement was made that part of the gas tax revenue paid statewide by motorists, including a lot of people who just likely will never use the MTA services because they're elsewhere in the state, would go to transit. And the agreement was, in return for that, that you'd have basically equality between the two capital programs. And you had very near to that until 2009 and 2010 when parity was broken. And ever since then, investment in the MTA system has outpaced the DOT system by about $6 billion.
So do you think that the governor and the legislature is going to change their mind and this time around possibly do the right thing and give the upstaters their fair share?
Well, two things. First, yeah, I think there's a real possibility of that. Look, the fact that the governor is committing the resources that he said he's going to commit, about $8.3 billion over the next 5 years to the MTA, is actually a good thing. Their system is important. It has very, very critical needs. It's old. It's falling apart, much like our roads and bridges. And it's important not only to New York City's economy, but to the state's economy. So we're not against that investment. But the network of roads and bridges statewide, and it's not an upstate issue, it's statewide, because a huge number of people who go and get on MTA transit to get to and from work go in a car, right? They drive in their car and they park somewhere and get on a train or whatever they're going to do with the MTA, take a bus. So, you know, the reality is this is not an upstate, downstate issue. It is a New York issue, and both systems are critical to our communities and to our economies. Both are in bad shape. A lot of our roads and bridges were built 60-some-odd years ago for a 50-year lifespan. And then we have this thing in New York called Winter, which does no favors to our infrastructure. And so
I've heard of it.
As a result, yeah, and it's coming, unfortunately, I hate to tell you. But we've got about 6,000 bridges in New York that are in need of repair. 60% of our roads are in need of repair. And that's a figure that the governor himself used last year in his State of the State message. So I think there's a real possibility that we're going to have real progress this year. The other good thing about it is it's a bipartisan issue. Democrats and Republicans agree that infrastructure is important. Nothing that anyone else does or cares about works if you don't have infrastructure that you can rely on. And where it gets interesting is how you're going to pay for it. And that's I think, sort of what's going to be the real fight in Albany come January.
The American Society of Civil Engineers, they described New York's roads. They rated them on the school grade and gave them basically a D. And these scores seem to reflect the underfunding and mismanagement. Do you think this money can really help?
There's no question. I don't know that it's mismanagement. I mean, I think if you want to talk about mismanagement, it goes to what I referred to earlier, which is the fact that you allegedly have a dedicated highway and bridge trust fund, which when you go fill up your car, you pay your gas tax, in theory, that money goes into the lockbox, and then it goes to maintain roads and bridges. In reality, the single largest expense on the dedicated fund is debt service because it's been so poorly managed for decades. And then you've got all sorts of expenses that are operational that really have nothing to do with the maintenance of our infrastructure that have been tacked onto that fund because the legislature, frankly, over successive legislatures, wanted to spend money that they didn't have. And a very dangerous thing to be in Albany is a so-called dedicated fund or a pile of money because somebody's going to get their hands on it. The issue really is, I think, as you said, underinvestment. We simply have not had the resources necessary to maintain our infrastructure. And it is not a New York-specific issue. It's an American issue. There's been a lot of good media coverage. 60 Minutes did a story in the last year that really raised a lot of eyebrows in terms of the condition of the nation's infrastructure. And it's a Washington problem, too, because it looks like we're finally going to get a multi-year federal highway bill, surface transportation bill. We're closer than we've been in a very long time. They've sort of been just kicking the can down the road for years. I've lost track of how many extensions they've done. And to be fair to the state of New York and every state, it's difficult for them to plan multi-year if they don't know how much money is coming from the federal government because a lot of this is federally supported. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is at the state level, at the federal level, and at the local level, we just don't have the resources necessary to maintain our infrastructure. And there's two curves happening, right? What's the investment? And in real dollars, we're spending less on this stuff now when you adjust for inflation than we were a decade ago. And the needs are higher because it's older, just like anything else. When your house gets older, your car gets older, costs more to maintain it, and eventually you might have to replace it if you don't maintain it, and that's really kind of where we're at.
Well, I certainly hope that when Congressman Rangel was on our show back in, I guess this was before June, you know, he was certainly a proponent of helping the highway tax, and he made it clear that there were some of his peers who couldn't agree because they wanted to add certain things on. But there have been stories, and I think the number is about $300 billion that I read. Does that sound right to you, Mike?
Well, I don't think there's an overall number just yet because the House has passed a bill. The interesting thing in the House is that at the last minute, they found billions of additional dollars in revenue. There was a pay-for that they were working on that ended up coming in at a much higher number than anyone anticipated. I think like tens of billions of dollars. And you would think that that's a good thing, but that's turned out not to be such a good thing because now that it's so much more money, you've got people in the House who are saying, wait a minute, we should be using some of that money for deficit reduction or other things. So it's sort of a minor bump in the road on the House side. The Senate passed a bill a while back, but now they've got to come to conference and agree on something. But there seems to be a much more defined sense in Washington that they are actually going to do something. And as you noted with Congressman Rangel, I haven't met anybody yet who's against investing in infrastructure. Everybody is for it. The trick is, are they for it as much as they're for other things, and how are they going to pay for it? And that's sort of the crux of the discussion that we've been having around the state, as you noted. And, you know, the Rebuild New York Now coalition really is pretty extraordinary because it's the construction industry, the broader business community, it's the mayors, the counties, the towns, school boards, other industry groups, organized labor, basically everybody. And by the way, the environmental community, the League of Conservation Voters, is with us because better, safer, more reliable infrastructure is better for the environment too, because you're burning less fuel, because you're not stuck in traffic or, you know, driving around trying to avoid detours or bridges that are closed. So it's a coalition of everyone, and I think when you have a group that is that broad-based of organizations that may not agree with each other all the time, folks have to take notice.
You know, ambulances need to get where they're going to get those in need to hospitals. And, of course, you mentioned our children. And this is throughout the state. And, by the way, our phone number is 800-321-0710. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We have Mike Elmendorf on, the head of Rebuild New York Now, and also the president and CEO of the Associated General Contractors. Here's an email from Mitch C. On Friday, October 30th at 4:25 p.m., I was standing on the corner of 24th Street and 8th Avenue. There was an ambulance going north on 8th Avenue on an emergency call, stuck in horrendous traffic, greatly exhausted, instead of helping the poor victim needing to get to the hospital and who could possibly die due to unnecessary delay. Well, that's in New York City. The traffic is terrible. But just think about it. On a greater level throughout New York State, traffic caused by crumbling roads, traffic caused by bridges that are closed and people have to circumvent and go to different areas, take different routes, which doubles the traffic on those routes. We really need to save the infrastructure. This has been something that Gridlock Sam has been talking about for many years, and every year it's getting worse. You know, and what has to happen? I mean, do we need a disaster? Do we need a real road disaster to before we actually, you know, make the right move? I mean, it seems to be in gear right now, but it's not only New York City. You know, the bulk of the money should not go just to the MTA. It needs to be spread out, and as Mike said, in a fair way. Our number is 800-321-0710. Mr. Charbel, you're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thanks for your time. And I do have a comment about the gentleman did mention about the traffic.
What's your comment?
I do blame, goes back to Bloomberg, the former mayor, and the present mayor, and Department of Transportation. On a daily basis, we cannot move in New York City because of the traffic. They keep adding concrete island, making the streets smaller and smaller, choking up the traffic. This message is for the mayor and the governor. The amount of traffic in New York City, God forbid, if we have any terrorist attack, nobody can move. They keep building that concrete island and people parking
Island that you're talking about, those are the designated bike lanes in the left lane, right?
Correct, yes, sir.
And the pedestrian malls, okay.
Oh, let's go back to our business. I see on the back of the MTA buses in the city advertisements like Uber, but right now drive yellow, earn green. It's not going to work. You know why? Because Taxi and Limousine Commission, the mayor and the government, everyone, including Uber, they are trying to destroy taxi business.
Get that. Okay, listen, thank you for your points on the Taxi Dave Show. Do appreciate it. There are certain words you can't say here, like concrete island. Mike, let me go back to you. How does New York stack up nationally on the condition of roads and bridges?
Not well. We have among the higher percentages of roads that are in poor condition and bridges that are either, to use a technical term, structurally deficient or functionally obsolete, which means they either need some serious work, or if you were going to build that bridge today, you wouldn't build it the way it's built because they've found a way to engineer something that's better. Like, for instance, the bridge might be fracture critical, like the Tappan Zee Bridge. So the way that bridge was designed, if there's a failure at any point in the bridge, the whole bridge is going down. It's the same design of the bridge that went down a few years back in Minnesota, if you recall that. And, you know, before we had our caller, Dave, you know, you said, do we need to have a disaster for people to focus on this? I hope that's not the case. But, by the way, we've had them before. You know, you'll recall back, a couple of decades ago, there was a bridge on the New York State Thruway in Montgomery-Fulton County area that went down, and a number of people lost their lives. And the problem is that when something like that happens, or even on a much lesser scale, when a bridge gets closed, which happens all the time, by the way, around the state, it happens in New York City. You'll recall there have been a couple instances of late when you've had major joint failures on the George Washington Bridge, which have caused, you know, massive disruption and traffic problems in the city. When those things happen, people say, well, we got to do something about this. And then the next day they move on to something else, right? So, I mean, this is really about trying to keep people focused on it, because whatever your business is, whether it's trying to get grandma out of the hospital when she's ill, getting the kids to school, whether you're a farmer in upstate New York trying to get your goods to market or to the manufacturer that uses them to make yogurt or whatever it might be, if you can't get from A to B, you've got real problems, and that's just the reality for too many of our communities in New York.
And we can't afford to wait in New York State, upstate, downstate. You know, I hope it's just not a matter of time until we face another catastrophe.
We can't afford to wait, because waiting costs more, right? I mean, it goes back to the house analogy. If your roof is due to be maintained and you don't maintain it, you're going to spring a leak. And then if you don't do something about it, you're not only going to have to replace your roof, you're going to have to replace the inner contents of your home. And that's really sort of where we are with our infrastructure, because we've been on a scotch tape budget when we need to be on a reconstruction budget for a good long time. You know, you talk about congestion. Well, what most of our transportation systems are engaged in is simply trying to maintain the current condition of what they have, not talking about adding capacity, not talking about modernizing, not talking about making it more efficient. It's about trying to cobble together and keep together the infrastructure that we have there that, again, in many cases has outlived its expected useful life. So that's not a very good place to be.
Mike, you're the president of the Associated General Contractors. Beyond improving safety, how will investing in infrastructure create jobs, especially this sharing of the $8.3
billion? Well, for every $1 billion that you invest in infrastructure, you create about 28,000 direct and indirect jobs. And more broadly than that, if your infrastructure is coming apart, it's roads and bridges, but it's also environmental infrastructure, which people overlook because you don't see it. When you're driving from A to B, you're going down the road dodging potholes or going over a bridge where you kind of hold your breath, you recognize that that stuff's in trouble. But if you go underground, and it's certainly the case in New York City and a lot of communities around the state, you've got century-old environmental wastewater, drinking water infrastructure, which is a real problem too. So if these things are coming apart and they're not reliable, they really throttle economic growth, and they become one more of, unfortunately for New York, already too many reasons why people might not want to locate a business or move jobs to the state. So it supports the broader economy. It makes our communities work. It is a big, big factor in our economic competitiveness, and it's a good investment. I mean, you know, last year New York had about $5 or $6 billion in found money because of a whole slew of bank settlements where the state received settlements from various financial institutions for various misdeeds, I guess you'd call it. And there was broad agreement. You had then Speaker Silver, then Majority Leader Skelos, liberals, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, labor, business, everybody saying spend that money on infrastructure. And at the end of the day, a lot of it got spent on infrastructure, but not nearly enough of it got spent on infrastructure, because you had the usual litany of interests and the grab bag of ideas that you get up here in Albany trying to get their hands on that money. We hope this year is going to be different and that there's going to be a real focus on actually trying to meet those needs for all the reasons that we've talked about.
Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. We're on with Mike Elmendorf, the president and CEO of the Associated General Contractors, and the leader of Rebuild New York Now. And you can see why he's the leader. Certainly has a grasp and a hold on everything regarding infrastructure that we need throughout New York State. And Mike just wants parity. You know, if we have enough to service New York City with X amount of dollars, well, New York State should get X amount of dollars. You know, it's certainly, there's a lot more ground to cover, literally. Oh, excuse me. And MTA does a great job of taxing people. I do have to tell you that. And that's something I talk about, we've talked about a lot. Almost, you know, everything you do, everything you buy, whether it's your house, whether it's paying your cable bill or your energy bill or your phone bill, I mean, you always see these add-ons for MTA tax surcharges. And they know how to make money. And I just wish that New York City, okay, was in good, better shape, and New York State certainly needs to get in better shape. You know, a week doesn't go by where I start reading, okay, bridge so-and-so or road so-and-so is now open. It's been closed since Hurricane Sandy. That's 2 years. You know, that's
well, you know, that's a good point, too, Dave, because when you look at those sort of extreme weather events, which unfortunately for us in New York have been becoming more regular occurrences than I think any of us would like, you really see the impact that failing infrastructure has. Because if you look at the bridges and you look at the roads and the other infrastructure that took that took the worst beating in the, not just Sandy, but then before that, Irene and Lee, it was the older stuff that was in worse condition to begin with, not surprisingly, that was closed or in some cases not there after the floodwaters had receded. And, you know, newer infrastructure is built to be more resilient. It handles these types of events better. It may get damaged, but it's going to require much less effort and cost to get it operational again after events like that than something that was in dire straits to begin with. And so that's just, you know, another of many reasons why it just makes sense to make these investments, because they actually save you money and time and disruption, not to mention a threat to the public in the long run.
Sergio is gone. Gladys is gone. I hope we're not having trouble with the phones. People call in. Okay.
Maybe we scared them off.
Yeah, well, that's right. They have two hands on the wheel right now, and they're watching the roads and bridges very carefully.
They're watching for potholes. They can't talk while they're trying to drive.
I started taking the Tappan Zee Bridge most recently. You know, for the last 15 years, I thought the best way for me to get to work was the GW Bridge, and I just can't afford to take that bridge every day. I mean, you know, easy pass aside, $15 is going up to is absurd. You know, to go one way on a bridge when you can take the Tappan Zee for $5. It almost seems like a bargain. And I don't know if any of those workers come under your umbrella, but they are building the new Tappan Zee Bridge at a phenomenal pace.
Yeah, they really are. We have a lot of our members that are working on that project, because obviously it's a massive project. And, you know, that's certainly one where the governor deserves credit for moving that forward. It was being talked about and talked about for years. And while people were busy talking about it and having genteel debates about whether there should be buses and bikes and all sorts of other rail and everything else on the bridge was literally falling into the Hudson River. I mean, there were pieces of that bridge that would come off on a regular basis, and you could drive over the bridge in the right places and look down and see water. And this is not an exaggeration.
Are you trying to make me feel secure as I drive over every day?
You know, you might just – the governor used to joke about this. You might just want to crack the window a little bit just in case you do end up in the water. But the bridge is safe. Look, the Thruway Authority knows what they're doing, but it needs to be replaced. And
that's right. Hear that,
you know,
folks? Take your tubes in your car.
The industry is doing a great job on that, and that's an example of what you can do when you have a little bit of ingenuity, because that's being built. It was procured in a different way than just a traditional low bid project. It's a design build project. So the state actually went out and said, we need a bridge from A to B. They didn't say we need this bridge and it needs to look like this, and this is, here are the plans, and you're going to build this bridge, and whoever has the lowest price is going to get the work, which is how a lot of this stuff works. They actually went out and they procured both the design and the construction. That's design build. And so the team that ultimately won is going to be able to build that bridge quicker, as you can see. And I was down there on a boat in September, and it really is incredible what they're doing. And also it's going to last longer than many of the other designs with less long-term maintenance costs. So that's a real success story.
Can you stay with us a little longer?
Absolutely.
All right, we have to take a break. This is a Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. We do have callers on the line. We'll get to your calls. So we're on with Mike Elmendorf, the leader of Rebuild New York Now and the president and CEO of Associated General Contractors. And we're talking about infrastructure. But don't worry, we'll take your calls. Mike, Gloria, Serge, you're back. Okay, stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative action employer, equal housing lender.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
I hope you guys have an extra hour. 1 hour is really not long enough.
I'll have no voice left if I do that.
No, no, she can't take your mind.
Structure intact, folks, or else we're taking our lives in our hands. This is Thanksgiving week, one of the busiest holidays travel weekends of the year. And AAA is projecting nearly 47 million Americans across the country traveling away from home over this long weekend. It's the biggest travel by car event in about 10 years. So just think about that. We certainly don't want any problems with infrastructure. Gloria, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, Dave. Good evening, Dave. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for calling.
My question is, I need some sort of maybe a little advice here. As you all know, we have a medallion, and it's come to the time that my husband cannot drive any longer. He can't find a driver. We can't sell the medallion. What is it that we could possibly do?
That's a very good question. You know, unfortunately, just to bring people up to speed, right now there seems to be a slight problem in the workforce in the yellow taxi industry. Yellow cabs are supposed to have the exclusive right to pick up street hails. That's what the law says in the city of New York, and that's what the state law says. And there are laws in the city that need to be reinforced and enforced. And unfortunately, they're not being enforced. So some of the workforce is migrating to another segment of the industry because they can do, or they are doing, not they can, they are doing, in essence, they're doing street hails without paying for a medallion and without right. being under these rules that yellow cabs are under. It took 80 years of the taxi industry to get to a point where people feel safe, where there's enough rules and regulations. People just know you drive yellow, you drive safe. That's the way it is. And in answer to your question, I would appreciate it, Gloria, if you called me in my office. You can call Melrose Credit Union during the day and leave a message with your phone number, and I'll gladly get back to you, and we can talk privately about it, because it is a huge problem. And that's one of the things I want to talk about a little later when our guest is off the phone. There is a lawsuit that was filed in federal court this week, and we'll get to that a little later. Anything else, Gloria?
No, just that what you were mentioning, that's exactly what's going on right now, is the people have gotten used now of hailing Uber, that it's going to come a time that they've waited so long to address this problem that they're getting used to these Ubers. So it's like you see this going down the drain.
It's not going down the drain. It can't go down the drain. People want to pick up street hails. Okay, they should have a medallion. You have to have a medallion to pick up street hails. You're not doing it, buddy. I'm not talking to you, Gloria. But if you're picking up street hails and you don't own a medallion, okay, get ready to have the handcuffs put on, buddy. Okay, or get ready to pay back this taxi industry, because you need to have a medallion to pick up street hails. It's the law, and that's the way it is. And it's a shame that it's had to get to this point right now. I don't care how many people are doing it. It doesn't make it right. Were the Nazis right? There were millions of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't want to talk to me either after that. JFK Mike, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes. First of all, that's a tough act to follow right there, bro. I just want to say, listen, what do you say? Oh, the gentleman with the infrastructure, following up with what she says, the New York City construction workers are some of the best paid in the country. The only reason they're the best paid in the country is because they stick together and they have unity and they stand up against the oppressors, the people who want to steal their money.
Is that true, Mike? Mike Elmendorf, is that so?
Well, I'm not sure who the oppressors are, but you know, certainly, I mean, our membership is the whole industry. It's the union contractors and it's the non-union contractors, and they all work together to get the job done.
Well, anyway, the construction workers are very good in New York, and I think the bottom line is, you know, you get what you pay for. And right now, they've been flooding the streets with these Uber characters, and I think Gloria has a very good point. Listen, getting back to the gentleman on the show, the infrastructure. I just want to ask him, how come? We have the World Trade Center they remade. They had the subway going from Grand Central to the West Side. They got that. There's some projects that go at warp speed. And then I look at the Second Avenue subway, and then I look at the Van Wyck Expressway. And I'm just wondering, how do we make it so that everything can uniformly get done versus some things leapfrogging other things with the public infrastructure? Anyway, I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you very much, guys. Great show.
Mike?
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, well, I think really what it comes down to is a couple of things. First, and you know this, some things go better than others, right? I mean, you know, construction is tricky business, and often when you get started on a project, you find out that things aren't quite as you expected them to be, especially when you're working underground or working underwater, for that matter. You know, so there are things that just sort of happen in the nature of business, and, you know, some of it has to do with who are the contractors in some cases, some of it has to do with who are the owners, because the owners often have a lot to do with how well a project goes, too. But, you know, certainly it's in everyone's interest to get these things completed as soon as possible, the public, because there's less disruption to them, the owner, because that's what they want. But it's better for the contractor, too, right? You don't get contractors that are out there just trying to take their time, because the sooner they're done, the sooner they get paid or they can start fighting about getting paid, as is often the case, and they're on to the next thing. So, you know, it's just sort of the nature of these things, and I think there's a lot of things that the industry is doing to try to get these projects done quicker. And I think, you know, Dave, what we talked about on the Tappan Zee Bridge is a great example of that, sort of using more modern techniques to deliver a project. It's good for everybody, and it, you know, it gets these things done faster, which I know the public likes.
Okay, and as though we didn't have enough mics, let's take a call from another mic. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show. Oh, we just lost Mike. So let's take Sergio. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Okay.
Hey, how I missed a little bit of the beginning of the show. How are we paying for all this infrastructure rebuilding and all this other stuff?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I don't know that anyone knows how the $8.3 billion that's been committed to the MTA so far is going to be paid for. I mean, that's something that I think we'll learn more about when the governor unveils his budget in early January. You know,
right.
Currently, go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Are you on board with this move on New York stuff that's going on?
I'm familiar with it. That's not part of the campaign that we're running.
There's no construction point, basically, in that, except for
you
the
know,
polls.
we're looking at this statewide as well. You know, so I mean, we support what's being proposed for the MTA, but our point is that we need a similar investment in the rest of the state's infrastructure. And you know, Move New York is focused on, you know, specifically the city, although there probably are elements of it that align with what we're talking about, but we're focused on funding at this point in what we're talking about. And, you know, how are they going to pay for it? It's a very good question. But that question wasn't answered yet on the funding for the MTA. You know, so we think that there needs to be a parallel discussion about funding for the rest of the system throughout the state.
Right. I hope that they are not thinking about, you know, because they keep talking about tolling the bridges and doing this and doing that, and they just want to kill I mean, once they toll the bridges, they're just going to kill the whole taxi industry because people living in the outer boroughs are going to have to pay a round-trip fare back and forth. I mean, it's just I hope that that's not how they're going to think, how they're thinking about funding all this stuff. Another thing, Dave, about the lady. Another thing, Dave, about the lady that just called you, Gloria. Listen, these people, her husband can't drive. They might owe some money on the medallion. They can't get drivers. What we need is a campaign. We need a campaign between the TWA. We need the garages. We need the independent medallion owners, T-Motor. We need to get together. We need to coalesce in one mass and try to get a campaign going to at least get the drivers, the new drivers that are going to the TOC, and find a way for them to get their yellow hack license. Even if they go work with whoever they want to work, but at least once they find out that they've been hoodwinked by Uber and by all these other companies into filling out these incredible contracts for these financing of these cars, they could either drop all that and come over to yellow, because right now we need a campaign to bring the drivers, to get new blood, to get the old drivers back. We got to stop this pointing the finger. The courts are going to decide, and we're going to get all this stuff straightened out. But in the meantime, we still need the drivers to come back. The independent medallion owners can't get drivers. They're running into trouble with paying these medallions that they just bought. And the fleets on the weekends, the cars are just sitting around. Right now, there are different pay schedules that the garages have lowered the schedule of the leases. But, you know, we need the drivers to take advantage of this. I see a lot of the guys giving out these pamphlets at Penn Station, but the guy is giving them to cab drivers. What are you don't got to give it to cab drivers. Give it to the FHV drivers so that they could come to yellow. You're just trying to change yellow to one guy from one garage to a guy to another garage? Come on. We got to be smart about this.
The TLC has made some changes in their licensing. And FHV drivers, I think, starting in December sometime, are going to have to go to school, and they are going to have to take a test as well. Everything will be the same except for the English proficiency, but everything else will be the same. Okay, Sergio, thanks again for calling the Taxi Dave Show. Bill, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Taxi Dave, I listen to your show religiously, okay?
I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you.
I'm not a hack, okay? But I did ride yellow cabs when my niece and my nephew were in active theater in New York. Okay? My question is, how do these Uber cabs get on there? Don't they have to have the same thing as a yellow cab?
No.
Don't they have to have?
They should. Okay? They're an app company. They're simply an app company. That's what they are. And then someone sued and said, well, they're acting like black cars. They should be a black car company. So they have a number of black car bases as well. Okay.
I have a question. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have a question. If you're a hack, you got to have a commercial license.
You have to have a license issued by the Taxi and Limousine Commission to drive in New York City.
And you have to have extra insurance. You're commercial.
They have what they need in New York City. That's not the fight in New York City. It's the fight in the rest of the country. Pick a city. Uber has a different fight with each city. And by the way, Bill, don't drink and drive. Whatever you do.
I don't. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Have a good night.
Okay. Gladys, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. This is a first-time caller.
Oh, okay. You know what you win?
What did I win?
Mike is going to let you work on the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Bring a life vest.
Anyway, I drive a cab for the last 17 years. A yellow cab.
Okay.
Okay.
How long?
17 years.
Wow.
Mhm. And I'm still a happy taxi driver, believe it or not, with all the issues we have, but I still enjoy the job.
Good. What do you enjoy about it?
Everything. The people, the money, believe it or not, everything.
You know, when I drove, the best fringe benefit to me, I tell people I've been around the world in my taxi cab.
That's because exactly how I feel about it. I don't need to go anywhere. I have everything I need to know.
Let me ask you something, just to get off of the beaten path. Have you had anyone the last week or so from Paris in your car?
Yes. Two passengers.
Any interesting discussion?
No, I just told them that I felt, sorry for what happened over there. And they said thank you. They kind of were surprised for me to say that. Because most people won't say anything about it. But I said, I'm so sorry about what happened in Paris. And they were like amazed. But
so what can we
pay
do
attention
tonight on the Taxi Dave show?
I wanted to see if there's anything we can do as drivers to help the cause that Melrose or whoever's suing the city. Is there anything we can do as drivers? I was thinking that maybe writing letters and more letters with signatures to let the politicians know or the judge that has the case that, we pay attention. I was in the meeting with where the governor's people came to the taxi alight workers.
Okay.
And I told, and everybody was crying and crying about what's going on. And I stood up and I said, you know what? I just want the governor to know that taxi drivers, a lot of us are American citizens. We're voting. Our kids are American citizens. They're part of social media. They know exactly what's going on. And we know what the governor is doing. We know that the governor is on the side of the corporations, and that's what we, and we, our children know how to deal with social media. I want the whole people of New York to know what the governor is doing, because he's the one that's messing us up.
I'm glad you called, Gloria. You're going to stay on.
Let me just say something. So how can, I want to be part of, I want to help. I want to write letters. I want to, all the drivers are listening to me. How do I contact them? I want to write letters and signatures and letters and signatures and let these politicians and the judges know that we vote.
I love the energy you have. It's inspiring. I want you to stay on the phone. We're going to go to a break right now. And during that break, if you can, Noah, please take all of Gladys's information, contact info, so I can speak with her after the show or tomorrow. Okay, Gladys, and we will talk. It's tough speaking on the radio. It's live radio, folks. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here with... We're on with Mike Elmendorf, Rebuild New York Now, and the president of the Associated General Contractors. Nothing's off limits, I guess. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. We'll take your calls, and we'll read some more stories, and we'll chew the fat with Mike some more. Stay tuned.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Sunday night, and you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show on WOR 710 And in case you're one of those toll violators, persistent toll violators, the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles will suspend the registration of motorists who fail to pay five tolls, fees, and other charges resulting from violations on different days within any 18-month period, and they've ignored all authorities' repeated notices. Now, you might not think a lot of people run tolls and beat tolls, but what you will hear right now is that all the authorities, that's the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority, the New York State Bridge Authority, the New York State Thruway Authority, the Port Authority, they found 35,000 cases where violators accrued five or more unpaid toll violations within an 18-month period, resulting in about $16.5 million. So tolling authorities will send violators notices for each toll violation, and if the violator fails to pay the tolls, they're going to be referred to the DMV violator program. So if you've been getting away with it, you're not going to be getting away with it for long. It's time to crack open the piggy bank, folks, and save. I know how expensive it is. You know, do I feed my kids or do I pay $15 at the GW Bridge? You know? Anyway, we're here with Mike Elmendorf, Rebuild New York Now, and the president of the Associated General Contractors. Mohammed, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
On that, on the toll evasion thing, that's a really good thing, because obviously when folks aren't paying the toll for the infrastructure they're using, it's contributing to the problem that we're here talking about. And, you know, for instance, on the Tappan Zee Bridge, they're going to all electronic toll collection. So if you don't have some mechanism to enforce the collection of the toll, other than sending a strongly worded letter, which is basically what they do now, and you can imagine how far that gets them most of the time, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have real loss to the system. So that's a good thing. You know, people might not like the tolls, but these things aren't free, and if you're going to use it, you got to pay for it.
You know, it's funny. They already have the equipment up that's going to hold the electric tolls. You know, that's what they're going to have. They have that up already, well in advance of the bridge. But the problem is, if it's all electronic, what do you do for people who don't have enough money to replenish their Easy Pass, or, you know, their credit cards are maxed out, or they can't afford?
You don't have Easy Pass, actually. And there's, when I travel around the country, I see this elsewhere. It can do it by the license plate, so it will send a bill to the registrant of that vehicle. There's usually a discount if you do use Easy Pass, because obviously it's cheaper for whoever's sending the bill not to have to send you a piece of mail, so they give you some sort of a discount there. But you don't necessarily need to have an Easy Pass to do electronic tolling.
Okay. Pat sent me a picture of a yellow taxi shirt with black writing. This was given out of my garage. Real New Yorkers drive yellow. And the other side says, taxi drive yellow. Thank you, Pat, for sending that to the Taxi Dave Show. Do appreciate it. Mohammed, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to tell you something first, that you are doing a very good job representing taxi driver. Thank you very much for what you do. Second is the mayor of the New York City, he announced some time ago that Uber company will conduct their own research about the effect on traffic. If there is any news about that research?
That's a good point. It's supposed to go on through April, but there were reports that before the end of the year, we will have results of that report. You're talking about an environmental impact study, I believe, or a traffic study, which shows if there's any negative impact on the environment for an additional 23 or 27,000 Uber vehicles that are in Manhattan in heavy traffic. And speaking of heavy traffic, just to let you know, got an email. And tell me if this is true, Mohammed. I used to get 30 fares a day. Now I'm getting 25 fares a day. And my average fare now is 35 to 40 minutes. Does that sound right to you, Mohammed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The traffic in the city is unbelievable, really. Really, and double park, when you see cars, Uber cars, double park waiting for the client. And sometimes there is one thing is annoying me It's like you see an Uber driver, he's driving, and all of a sudden he make a turn, like left turn. Sometimes he make a U-turn. One day he made a U-turn and hit a delivery bike, a guy with a bike delivering food. He hit him because he made a U-turn without looking who's coming.
Well, when they get licensed properly, hopefully this will stop. Here's another email. Watch out for the NYPD, 23rd Street and 1st Avenue westbound. You have to stay in the right lane. 40th and 7th when you turn. 37th and 6th. No right from the left turn. Also, everyone needs to know the wheelchair accessible tax, the 30-cent tax, must be paid by November 23rd. We've run out of time on the Taxi Dave Show. Sorry, all you callers. You'll call back earlier next week. What could I say? I want to thank Mike Elmendorf. Thanks for being here on the Taxi Dave Show, the head of Rebuild New York Now, and the president of Associated General Contractors. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for being here. And go to rebuildnynow.org if you want to tell the governor and legislature to fund infrastructure.
There you go. Rebuild New York Now. What's the email address again?
It's rebuildnynow.org. And you can send a message to your legislator and the governor right from the website.
Thanks a lot. Here's a short version. Highland Boulevard has replaced Queens Boulevard as the city's boulevard of death. Okay, I gotta go now. Hey, taxi! Don't take me over to Tappan Zee Bridge, but get me home!
The proceeding was a paid program. WOR's airing of this program constitutes neither an endorsement of the products offered or the ideas expressed.
WOR, New York.